All right, so I'm going to kick things off here by talking a little bit about what the department's been doing, Department of Justice has been doing over the last couple of years, together with kind of the broader federal law enforcement community in the area of international organized crime, and then turn it over to Lisa to talk about more of what's happening in the interagency community, so both law enforcement and non-law enforcement. From a department standpoint or a federal law enforcement standpoint, we really started to take a more serious or renewed look at international organized crime about 2 years ago. And why don't I start off by saying what I mean by international organized crime, or more appropriately, perhaps as a start, what I don't mean by international organized crime. As we undertook this kind of renewed focus a couple years ago, what we did not include in our initial focus, and this was very purposeful, was drug trafficking organizations and gangs, street gangs. And it's not that those are not forms of organized crime or international organized crime. They certainly are, and I'm willing to go toe-to-toe and argue that with anyone. However, from our perspective, we felt like there were already some programs that were fairly well positioned and doing some things right that we didn't want to interfere with, and that the real gap for us at that point was in non-drug international organized crime. And we were really focused on the most sophisticated organizations out there, which took us away from the kind of street gang focus. We were looking at groups that over the last 10 years, the last time the department had seriously focused on this issue, had grown in sophistication. The internet and kind of globalization had really taken the whole world to a different place than it had been 10 years prior, let alone the criminal world. We were looking at organizations that had literally billions of dollars at their disposal. They had the ability and do have leaders of foreign countries in their pockets. They have the money and the wherewithal to hire the best accountants, the best lawyers, the best financiers to help them further their criminal business. So we were looking at something quite sophisticated. And we started out our focus by trying to really get a handle on what we thought the threats were from these groups. And within the department, within the federal law enforcement community, talking to partners in the interagency and the intel community, we came up with our own kind of threat assessment of what we thought the big kind of most serious threats that we were seeing from international organized crime were. And I'll just briefly name some or all of them. First was that international organized crime has penetrated the energy and other strategic sectors of the United States, as well as allies and foreign countries, no doubt, but we were very focused on, you know, what are the threats to the United States specifically. So we were seeing, again, organizations that have so much money at their disposal that they were able and are able to buy into sectors of the economy and buy into our strategic sectors, and that was certainly of concern to us. Secondly, we're looking at international organized criminals that are providing logistical support to basically anyone who's willing to pay. So that could be anything from a terrorist organization to foreign intelligence services to hostile foreign governments. Obviously, another big concern for us. We're looking at international criminal organizations that smuggle people and contraband into the United States. So while we put drugs to the side, we are looking at everything else that they bring in. And that could be anything from counterfeit goods to people, kind of the whole gamut of what's out there. We were looking at international criminal organizations that exploit the U.S. and the international financial system to move illicit funds, which sounds like, you know, money laundering 101, which is essentially what that threat is. But the difference what we were seeing is we were looking at organizations that are able to move billions of dollars on an annual basis through the U.S. financial system, through our banks, and at the same time while evading all of our anti-money laundering controls. Obviously a big concern to us. We were looking at international criminal organizations increasingly using cyberspace to target U.S. victims and infrastructure here without ever needing to enter into the United States, which is certainly a new challenge for us, or a complex, maybe not so new, but a very complex challenge for us, is trying to deal with some of these organizations, particularly as we've seen kind of adept hackers or what we would at one point thought were kind of 20-something and 30-something computer specialists who were into committing one-off crimes, linking up with criminal organizations, and now becoming much more sophisticated when you brought the two together, and having criminal organizations that were known for traditional organized crime type of offenses, from prostitution and drug trafficking and racketeering, now organizing cyber criminals by their areas of specialty and sending them out in a much more organized manner. We're looking at, what else? International organized criminals manipulating securities exchanges and perpetrating sophisticated frauds. The thing that comes to mind there is seeing different types of fraud schemes, whether it's healthcare fraud or mortgage fraud or a particular scheme of the day, seeing it happen all across the United States, and you know, in other foreign countries, and starting to be able to put together the strings to see that we have maybe one organization that is running that and benefiting from that scheme. And that's remains a huge challenge for us, is trying to put all those pieces together of these individual schemes happening all across the United States and abroad, and making the connections to show that it's an organization that's running this type of scheme. And then the last two threats that we were looking at from international organized crime have been there since the beginning of time, and I think kind of actually go to the definition of organized crime, and that is that they're using violence to protect themselves and the threat of violence, and that they're engaged and attempting to be engaged heavily in public corruption also to protect themselves and further their criminal aims. And so those are the threats that a couple years ago we were very focused on. Certainly upon completing this assessment of what the problem was, there was no shortage of individuals who said, we need to, you know, do something about this, and we need to do something quickly. And so what we did at the department was to reconstitute something known as the Attorney General's Organized Crime Council, which has been around in one form or another since, I think, the 1960s, if I have it right. And it comes out of a presidential order that puts the Attorney General in charge of marshaling all of federal law enforcement to fight organized crime, of course at that time focused on the mob. But the purpose of this group is to bring together heads of federal law enforcement agencies and top prosecutors at a very high level, the heads of agency level, so that they can come up with a unified plan on how to deal with organized crime. And so this group had not met in probably 10 or 12 years. Before the Attorney General reconstituted it. The thought was, we're doing pretty well against the mob, things are going well, they seem to be on the decline, we've got our program in order, and the group had kind of fallen by the wayside in terms of having meetings. But in light of the new challenges and the new threats that we're now facing, there was a keen sense that we needed to do something and do something quick. And so the Attorney General called this group back together. It's made up of, it's chaired by the Deputy Attorney General. It includes the heads of the FBI, the DEA, ATF, ICE, Secret Service, postal inspectors, Internal Revenue Service, Diplomatic Security at State Department, and Department of Labor's Inspector General's Office. And that's kind of based on the history of labor racketeering and some of the advantages that are taken of the different labor visa programs. So we called this group back together. It also includes a couple more top prosecutors. It includes the Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division and one U.S. attorney who kind of represents the entire U.S. Attorney's Office community, there being 93 of them. Or is it 94? 94 of them. So that's the group. They called themselves back together. They met. And shortly thereafter, the U.S. law enforcement community came out with a strategy. I can tell you what the general parameters are of the strategy, and I think you might respond in the way that I've seen at least one attorney general respond to, you know, what we think the key things are that we need to do. I think it was Attorney General Michael Mukasey who turned to me and said, duh. it's not light bulb stuff, but by the same token, it's hard to do. It's easy to say and hard to do. And so the main tenets of that strategy Our first, we all agreed, we need to pull together all of our information and intelligence in this area. We've got all these different law enforcement agencies just on the federal level, let alone once we start talking about state and local and 18,000 different jurisdictions we have at the state and local level. But even on the federal level, we're not doing as good a job as we could be doing and pulling together all the bits and pieces of information that we have in this area and looking at our kind of combined picture. So marshaling information and intelligence. The next thing was prioritizing and targeting the most significant international organized crime threats. It's not the world of just looking at the La Cosa Nostra anymore and the five families. Now we're talking about groups from all across the globe, all of whom can travel, all of whom can operate in the United States, potentially thousands of organizations out there. How do we decide which ones we're going to use our limited resources to attack? So making sure that we're prioritizing and targeting the most serious groups out there so that we all agree on that throughout the law enforcement community and agree that we'll work on those groups together. We agreed that we needed to attack these groups from all angles. We needed to use the specialties of each of our agencies to go after this group, whether it's, if we could get them for a tax violation, we get them for a tax violation. If it turned out, they're trafficking in contraband cigarettes, we'll go after that violation. Doesn't matter. We're going to use the specialties that all of these agencies bring to bear and to our benefit. A couple things that stand out in that arena are a real commitment to focus on going after the money. We know these organizations are profit motivated, and that if we can take away that money, that's going to have a serious impact. Following and taking away the money not only undercuts their motive, it also helps us to figure out who the real members of this organization are and, who's benefiting, which public officials are they paying off. So we're very much focused on trying to do everything we can to go after the money. And then the other piece that was kind of falls under this attack from all angles theory is not just using law enforcement tools, but also doing whatever we can as a law enforcement community to support non-law enforcement tools, whether that means working with State Department to deny visas or working with Treasury for them to use some of their sanctions programs. Anything we can do to attack these organizations, we need to make sure we're doing it. We need to be sure that we're thinking outside the box. And using all the tools that the U.S. government has to bring to bear. And obviously, kind of the last piece of the strategy, but it's really the overall goal. Our goal is to not only significantly disrupt, but ultimately dismantle each of these organizations. So that's kind of the strategy in very broad strokes. Two of the more concrete things that we've done in furtherance of that strategy. Just to name a couple, there's been, I guess, several. But one is to set up a targeting program. It's called the Top International Criminal Organizations Target List, or Ticket List. The law enforcement community comes together, and we do, in fact, decide together on which organizations we think are the most serious, and then agree that we're going to work on them together for reasons that may be obvious. We don't make the organizations on that list public information, but we focus on two different types of targets. We have what we call defined and developmental. Our defined targets are kind of the type of thing that you would see or think of when I say we have a target list. It's an organization. We know the name of the organization. We know who pretty much the membership of that organization is. We know, for the most part, how it's structured. We know what we're going after. We're going after the Colombo family of the LCN, and we kind of know who everyone is that's involved in that. That's our defined targets. Our developmental targets are these the more difficult situation that we're often confronted with, quite frankly. And that is, to go back to this fraud idea, let's say we have a certain type of healthcare fraud scheme that we see perpetrated across the country in Canada and some other places in Europe. It has a similar MO. We've got enough information to make us feel like we've got an organization, one organization that's involved in this fraud scheme, but we don't know yet exactly how that organization is formed, who the main players are. We've got enough, but we don't have it all. Those are our developmental targets. And our goal there is to learn as much as we can to get them up to be a defined target so that we can then really work on attacking that organization, disrupting, dismantling it. And that's kind of the newer area for us, and I would say even for law enforcement, is to get our hands around how we deal with that type of scenario. And I guess that's where we come to the other very concrete thing that we've done over the even just the last year, and that was to set up IOC2, the International Organized Crime Intelligence and Operations Center. And essentially what that is we've brought together all of our participating law enforcement agencies, that whole alphabet list that I gave earlier. We brought them together in a task force setting, and we have basically all of their investigative reports and all of the information that they have that could potentially pertain to international criminal organizations there on the spot with some pretty good IT tools at our disposal to go through that information and make connections. We're able to do communications analysis. We're able to do a whole bunch of other types of connective analysis and really start to put the pieces together. And it's been amazing over the last year. We had expected when we set this place up, and we co-located it with two pre-existing centers, the OCDF Fusion Center, which is the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force's Fusion Center, so a drug-focused center, and DEA's Special Operations Division, which is another interagency drug-focused intelligence center. We co-located with those two groups. Under the theory of, well, we know that drug trafficking and supposedly non-drug organized crime, there's a lot of bleed over between the two of these, and we want to make sure that we're seeing that. It'll give us the ability to get up and off the ground fairly quickly. We already have kind of places there, IT tools, infrastructure, computers, everything we need to get going. Let's go ahead and co-locate them. We always expected that we'd see this crossover between the drug and the supposedly non-drug organized crime. What's really been amazing is just how extensive that crossover is. And as we've also started to bring gang information into that, street gangs, we are seeing cyber organizations that no one would have thought that these cyber groups were involved in drugs. They're related and involved in drugs, which are related to, you know, street gangs in LA. All of these groups, or many of these groups, are working together and just performing different tasks for the criminal organizations, helping each other out with their specialties. So I guess in the same way that we're trying to bring together our federal law enforcement agencies and take advantage of each and every one of their specialties, so it is in the criminal world, and they must have their own Attorney General's Organized Crime Council of their own, where they all sit around the table and decide who's gonna do what. But the crossover there has really been amazing for folks that have been involved in drug trafficking, counter drug trafficking efforts, counter gang efforts, counter organized crime efforts for years and years. I think we've all been surprised to see just how extensive the overlap has been between these organizations. But that's essentially what we've been involved in at the department over the last couple of years. The trend kind of moving forward, because of this great crossover that we see, is to more and more put our policy and the programs in these three areas, gangs, drug trafficking, and non-drug organized crime, really align it, make sure that the types of tactics that we're using against one type of group, we're using it against the others. The policies we put in place for one, we should be trying to put in place for the others. Make sure that everything we're doing across the three programs is very coordinated. That's bringing us more in line with our foreign counterparts who have been doing this for years. I think we're looking at better things ahead.